Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. As you enter the gate of Ivy College, you enter a world that is dedicated to the principle, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's early morning at number one faculty row, home of Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall, president of Ivy, and his wife, Victoria. A home which has been without Dr. Hall for 3 days, while he attended an educational conference at the state capitol. And he's been driving all night to get home for an emergency.
Mr. Hall, Dr. Hall's home. He's trying to draw right on the spot.
Thank you, Ivy. Oh, everything on schedule?
Right on dot. Everything's ready.
Welcome home, darling.
Hello, my father, my dear.
Hi, Dr. Hall.
Hello, Alice. You're my wife.
Yes, everything's arranged. The board meeting's at 9, and Mr. Wellman will be in your office at 8:45. And before you tell me what all the mystery's about, come on in, sit down.
Breakfast is all ready. I fixed everything you like, Dr. Hall.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alice. I've only time for coffee and toast.
Oh. What can you do with leftover eggs, Benedict?
I know you've been galloping all night, Paul Revere, dear, but do slow down and tether your horse to the coffee pot. And you've got to take time out to catch your breath, you know.
Well, I just lost it again looking at you, my love.
Oh, that's because I'm all done up in the present you gave me.
And it looks lovely, too. Obvious your husband has superb taste. Wealth in anity?
Oh, very. He reads to me every night out of his bank book. Some of the situations are rather overdrawn, but it's really interesting.
There you are, Dr. Hall. Pretty skimpy breakfast.
Oh, thank you, Alice. I'll make up for it at dinner.
Now, I'll just sit here quietly and consume my curiosity while you consume your coffee.
Well, there's very little I can tell you, yet Meriwether wired me last night that Mr. Wellman was headhunting again. That's all.
Headhunting again? I thought he'd bagged his limit for the season. Whose noggin is he on the track of this time?
Professor Maxwell's. Wellman's after the head of our astronomy department.
Oh, not our little stargazer. He's such a sweet doll. What's he supposed to be guilty of? Moonshining? So that's why you rushed back to your conference armed to the teeth against Mr. Wellman, huh?
Who very neatly slips the matter into the agenda for this morning's board meeting.
Yeah, thinking you wouldn't be here.
Yes, I'd like to retaliate and pull a fast one. I'm afraid I haven't even got a slow curve to throw him. And this moment, he's probably picked up his bat and is walking to the plate. I'm sorry, darling, I really have to go.
Hey, you've got to run back.
Oh, thank you.
Nothing will please me more when you do.
I see you hurried back. There was no reason for that. I could have taken care of... Good morning, Dr. Hall.
Good morning, Mr. Wellman.
It's what I've been saying all along about Professor Maxwell. Easy, Maxie. Now the students are even tired of sleeping in his classes.
Well, surely you aren't objecting to students staying awake during classes.
What students? Dr. Hall, how many students do you think have signed up for astronomy this semester?
None.
Oh, you do know. Well, do you expect us to go on paying a full professor's salary to the head of an empty department? Do you want us to carry the overhead and depreciation on a fully equipped observatory with an 18-inch telescope?
But a well-balanced liberal arts college must offer courses in astronomy. How else are we going to give the students a chance to learn about the universe?
What good does it do them poking around the moon? Let's be practical. Nobody's going to spend a weekend on Mars, no matter what the comic books... I was just reading one the other day, and I think, just out of curiosity, my little nephew, Horace, look here, read this.
Now, Mr. Wellman, I don't think we have any time to read comic books, you know.
It's not a comic book, and it's not comic. It's the budget. Do you know what the budget for the astronomy department is per annum?
$12,750.
What? Well, how did you know? Oh, no, you're wrong. It's $12,753.59, Dr. Hall. We need those funds for other departments. Now, what's the matter with animal husbandry?
I don't know, I'm sure. If an animal wishes to take a husband, being of proper age and with a parent's consent, I...
Dr. Hall, you are just trying to confuse... You know what I mean. Not good as a professor if he hasn't got anybody to profess to. I mean, when nobody is...
Now, wait a minute. How about our investment in the observatory?
Write it off. Bad investment. Tear it down. Sell the telescope. Sell the telescope. Buy some new seats for the stadium.
And what do we do with Professor Maxwell? He's a brilliant man.
Put him out. Let him be brilliant on somebody else's payroll. Dr. Hall, do you know why I've been successful in my soup business? I've made good soup. When my employees make bad soup, I fire them. This man Maxwell is giving his bad soup. Nobody's buying it.
Well, your soup analogy seems a little strange to me, Mr. Wellman. It's not superficial. However, I suggest we let it simmer a while. Who knows? The Board of Governors may give us a better recipe. Hello, Vicky, I'm home.
Can you make it out of your room? See, you must have slammed down a parking rickshaw, boy.
No, darling, I'm in the middle of a momentous momentum, and I can't stop.
Oh. You sound awfully chipper, Duck.
You're more chipped against than chipper. Mr. Wellman has been gouging away at me all day long with his little chisel.
Well, if you don't tell me what's happened, I'm going to collapse before you do.
Well, I've invited Professor Maxwell to tea.
Oh, well, good. Helen's made everything nearly ready, and I bought a brand new honeycomb from a very friendly bee.
Goody, goody.
And what's the news, good or bad?
Well, Mr. Wellman insists upon abandoning the astronomy department altogether and getting rid of Maxwell.
But Stack, our little happy Stack? Well, I won't stand for it. You go right back to Mr. Wellman and tell him your wife won't tolerate this. You can take one of my earrings to prove I sent you.
I'd love to, but unfortunately our students have already passed judgment on Professor Maxwell. They found him guilty of dullness in the first degree.
But, Toddy, what happened to the observatory?
Oh, write it off. Tear it down. Tell the telescope.
Oh, darling, he can't. No more Observatory Hill.
Well, Vicky, I seem to be in a minority against Wellman and the board.
But a college campus must have an Observatory Hill. It goes with beanies and proms and tumbling into love for the first time. Things can happen beside an observatory dome in the moonlight that can't happen any other place in the world, I'm told.
Are you suggesting the observatory should be preserved as a sort of open-air tunnel of love?
Well, of course. What better place for a boy and girl to get stars in their eyes? Oh, you can't let Mr. Wellman get away with this. What happened to that slow curve of yours?
Oh, I didn't get much of a chance to use it. But the game isn't over. Oh, and I like pitching to a slugger with the bases loaded. The chips down, under the gun, in the home stretch, and playing out of the rough. At the sound of the bell, with the checkered flag just ahead. And if you can suggest any other sporting metaphors, I should be... That'll be Professor Maxwell.
Well, you go and let him in, darling, and then bring him out on the terrace.
Ah, Professor Maxwell.
Hello, Dr. Hall, hello.
Mrs. Hall has tea ready for us on the terrace.
Oh, how delightful. Oh, but I'd best take off my rubbers first.
Rubbers on a beautiful day like this.
Yes, well, I noticed the barometric pressure was decreasing precipitously, and I anticipated nimble strato atmospheric obscurement.
You thought it might rain?
Yes, you might put it that way.
And how are things at the observatory?
Well, I think I discovered something quite interesting. I'm waiting now for confirmation from the Astronomical Society. You see, my calculations seem to show, and several of my colleagues agree...
Thank you. And you've got enough lemon slices there to make lemonade for the 7th Cavalry.
I know, and I never see anybody take any. You ever notice how often we have lemon pie after we've had a tea party?
Here we are.
Hello, Professor. How nice to see you.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Hall.
How are things in outer space?
Well, now, he'll tell you later. Let him fill a few inner spaces first.
Oh, my, Mrs. Pleasant. I so seldom see the sun, you know.
May I take those, Professor?
Oh, dear me. Thank you.
It'll be quite dry out here if nobody spills the tea.
Sit down, Professor.
Thank you.
Professor Maxwell has been telling me of some new important researches of his.
Oh.
Oh, are you interested in comets, Mrs. Hall?
Oh, I love them. Try some of these. Okay. Have a big dipper of tea.
Thank you. You see, it is my hypothesis that the impact of... Big dipper of tea. Oh, I say, that's very good, very good. The impact of cosmic radiation on the retarded vector of a cometary orbit affects a molecular transmutation. Spasmodically, of course.
Oh, yes, of course. That sort of thing can't go on continually.
And tell me, have you had a report yet on the registration for your classes?
Oh, yes, I have. I don't quite understand it, Dr. Hall. The students don't seem to like me anymore. I don't know why. I like them. But they fall asleep during my lectures.
Well, Professor Maxwell, the Board of Governors feels, although I don't agree with them, mind you, that since no members of our student body have enrolled in astronomy this semester...
Oh, but that's not true.
Well, how do you mean it's not true?
You mean we do have some students registered for astronomy?
Oh, yes. Well, that is not students, a student. I was advised just this afternoon that one sophomore signed up for my course. Betsy Schnocker.
Betsy Schnocker, huh? Good, good.
Well, Betsy was sent straight from heaven, which is probably why she signed up for astronomy. She wants to know what's going on at home.
Oh, very good.
Well, she saved the day. If one single solitary student at Ivy wants to know about the stars, by heaven, he or she shall know about them.
Yes, well, I do hope she stays awake. I don't seem to be able to hold my audience.
Well, you just hold on to Betsy Schnocker.
Schnocker? Now, where have I heard that?
Haven't yet, darling.
Not just now, thank you, dear. Anyway, look, Professor, suppose instead of molecular transmutation and cometary nucleus, you translate it.
Into what? That's English.
Not to me, it isn't. It's Greek, printed upside down on a sponge cake. I'm talking of sponge cake. Would you like some?
Thank you. Do you mean that I've been a little too abstruse?
Exactly. Break it down into syllables of one word.
Well, what we mean is, you might say something like, out in the cold, far reaches of space, there is a comet factory. A body shop for heavenly bodies, where tired and tattered comets come for new tails to have their batteries charged. Then the mechanics of matter go to work, and a miracle takes place. A miracle of atoms and energy which sends up a souped-up hot rod comet plunging toward the sun again in a new burst of light and glory.
Is that what you were saying before, Professor?
Yes, I suppose it is. That is, in non-scientific terms, of course.
Yes, but you're not dealing with scientists at the moment. You're talking to freshmen and sophomores who don't know Cassiopeia's chair from a modern rocker. So, if you make science interesting in a language they can understand, people become interested enough to learn the language of science.
Yes, I think I see what you mean.
And don't forget, with the development of atomic power, there's a tremendous upsurge of interest in outer space.
And look at all the books being written about space travel, planetary migration, and flying saucers.
Why, Professor Maxwell, yours is the most dramatic story on the campus.
Oh, the drama's there, all right. But your stars aren't getting past the footlights.
Odd, too, with the longest run in history.
It's a few moments later, and Victoria Hall is entertaining Professor Maxwell on the terrace, as Dr. Hall is closeted in his study with an angry Mr. Wellman.
Are you or are you not going to discontinue the astronomy department?
Well, Mr. Wellman, that ill-considered decision was made on the basis that no students had signed up for astronomy courses this term. But one has signed up.
Oh, what do you mean? I mean, who?
Betsy Schnocker. So you'll see at least one undergraduate has expressed a hunger for knowledge about the mysteries of outer space. One student here at Ivy wants to know how far it is from the Ivy Bell Tower to the Belt of Orion.
And you want us to pay out $12,753.59 per annum just so this Schnocker person can find out how far it is to Orion's belt?
Well, I suppose that does seem a high price to you.
High price? For that much money, we could buy Orion's belt and give it to her with a gold buckle. No, Dr. Hall, it's no good. Maxwell's got it all.
Well, I must remind you that under the rules of this college, only the president can dismiss a faculty member.
Yes, but the board can cut off his budget and stop his salary at the end of the term. But he can stay on without any money if he's fool enough to do it.
Well, why don't you ask him if he wants to, Mr. Wellman?
You ask if you're the president.
Very well. It so happens that Professor Maxwell is having tea with Mrs. Hall on the terrace right now. Should we join them?
I'd rather handle this at the office, but so long as we're all here, all right, but no tea. Oh, there you are, Maxwell.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Wellman.
Well, no use beating around. Might just as well go right to the point. Hello, Mrs. Hall.
Hello, Mr. Wellman. Would you like to come to tea?
No, thank you. Not a social occasion for me. Well, go ahead, Dr. Hall.
Professor Maxwell, the Board of Governors, rather impetuously, I think, has decided to discontinue the appropriation for the astronomy department at the end of this term.
Well, William, I thought you said even one student...
Understand, this is nothing personal, Maxwell, only it's too bad that some people who look through telescopes can't still see which side they're bred on. I mean, can't see where they're going. Goodbye.
Under the circumstances, I think I'd best tender you my resignation.
Now, let's not be too hasty, Professor. Suppose we sleep on this.
And, Mrs. Hall, I'm sorry. I don't like to be the cause of casting a pall over your tea table.
Oh, that wasn't a pall. That was a clarence. And, Professor, you know, so many of Mr. Wellman's ultimatums are in the shape of boomerangs, and their natural bent is to return and bash him over the head.
And your stars are still there to be wondered at. There will always be those who can't lift their heads above the clouds to see the heavens beyond.
Toddy? Toddy?
Hmm?
Wake up.
What's the matter?
Telephone.
What telephone?
It's ringing, darling.
What's ringing?
Telephone.
Oh,
yes. Toddy!
What time is it?
I'll see. 5:30. 5:30? Who's got the nerve to call us at 5:30 in the morning?
5:30 in the morning? Hello.
Hello, is this the Hall resident?
Yes.
I hope I'm not disturbing you, Dr. Hall.
At 5:30 in the morning, of course you're not disturbing me. Are you not mowing the lawn?
This is Bullock of the Ivy News, Doc. I know it's a rotten hour to be calling, but I just had to reach you. Listen,
Professor Maxwell is still connected with your astronomy department, isn't he?
Why?
He just had a rush call from the news bureau in New York. They're screaming for a story on Maxwell.
Story? What story?
What's he done?
He's just reported a discovery to the American Astronomical Society, a new comet.
A new comet?
That's right. Twice as large as Halley's and five times as pretty. Gee, it's too bad Maxwell quit. This would have been the biggest news break in history for Ivy.
Mr. Bullock, can you hold the story for, say, half an hour?
I don't know. The news services won't wait much longer.
Well, try and stall them and come over to my house now. I think I can promise you...
Well, what's happening, Toddy?
Victoria, bring some reporters if you want. Professor Maxwell will be here.
Well, I don't know what goes, but... Okay, I'll gamble. Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye.
What are you doing, Toddy?
Calling Mr. Wellman.
You're going to wake him at this hour?
With pleasure, Vicky. Besides, he's never very sound awake. I don't see how he can be so very sound asleep. Good morning, Mr. Wellman, and how are you this fine morning?
Who the devil is this?
Your old friend, William Todhunter Hall. Tell me, Mr. Wellman, do you think publicity is important for a college?
Publicity? What? Is that any kind of a question to ask a man at 5:15 a.m.?
Your clock is slow, Mr. Wellman, and it's later than you think. I would like you to come over here at once. It's a matter of the greatest urgency.
But I'm in my navy.
Well, it's informal, Mr. Wellman, and very important for the future of Ivy, so hurry. Goodbye.
Are all those people coming over again now?
Come on, Vicky, last one up to Clarence Wellman.
I'll be
fast ones
in the middle have pineapple
on
them.
Well, wasn't that nice of you? Dahl knew we were coming, so you baked the cake.
It's a very tired joke, even for this early in the morning. My name is Alice.
Don't mind him, Alice. Where's the good doctor?
And he'll see you, Mr. Bullock. You just have to wait a few minutes.
Fine time to start a party.
Well,
Mr. Wellman,
he's in the... He'd better be. Dr. Hall, if you brought me over here on a wild goose... Oh, Maxwell.
Good morning, Mr. Wellman.
The astronomy matter is closed.
Well, they haven't reopened it.
Yes. Have you ever heard of Maxwell's Comet?
Maxwell's Comet? Never heard of it.
Well, in the next few weeks, Mr. Wellman, every newspaper in the world will carry the front page story of Maxwell's Comet. Diamond miners in Africa, sheep herders in Tibet, skin divers off Madagascar.
And my Aunt Violet and Putney?
Will stare in wonder at the heavens. Who was that, Aunt?
My Aunt Violet and Putney.
Oh, yes, yes. People in 1,000 languages will exclaim to each other over the great bonfire in the sky. And the first man to gaze upon this marvel, when it was but a fleck of light in outer space, is our own. Our esteemed Professor Maxwell.
And reporters are waiting breathlessly in the living room for his story.
Yes, it'll be covered by all the major news services. Oh, dear, dear, dear. How sad it is that Ivy will not be mentioned.
Wait a minute. Why won't Ivy be mentioned?
Well, Professor Maxwell is no longer on our faculty, Mr. Wellman.
That's ridiculous. All major news services, you say?
Not to mention time, life, look, click, tick.
Possibly under these. It might be that I. Don't be too hasty, Maxwell.
Hasty? Do you mean then I can stay on?
Oh, no.
No?
No?
No.
Oh, no. No, Professor Maxwell wouldn't consider staying on under the old arrangement.
He wouldn't?
He wouldn't?
I wouldn't?
Oh, no. Professor Maxwell will be much in demand now. But perhaps if we were to increase his salary, say, $1,000 a year, would you consider staying on at Ivy, Professor?
Oh, that would be most handsome.
Then you certainly ought to have a longer telescope. Why, I could chuck an 18-inch one under my arm like an umbrella.
Victoria, the 18 inches is diameter, not length. Now, Professor, go out there and tell those reporters the tale of your comet.
Thank you, Dr. Hall. You've been most kind.
Gentlemen, I give you Professor Peter Maxwell of Ivy College.
Well, Professor Maxwell, congratulations. Tell us about your comet.
Yeah, where did it come from?
Any idea of
how to compare with other great comets?
Any chance of it having any effect on the Earth?
Well, gentlemen, I think I have discovered something quite interesting. Yes, starting from my hypothesis that the impact of cosmic radiation on the retarded vector of a comet...
Oh, I don't think I quite got that last, Professor.
Oh. Well, perhaps I could put it another way. Yes, you see, out there in the cold, far distances of space, there is a comet factory. A place where old and tattered comets go to have their tails restored. And a miracle takes place. A miracle like...
In a moment, we'll return to the Halls of Ivy.
Ready to get up soon. Let's just stay here and watch the stars go up.
Aren't they lovely? Mm. I think the real heroine of the piece was Betsy Schnocker.
You do, eh?
But you know, I found out that Betsy Schnocker doesn't exist.
I bet you were surprised.
And yet there's something reminiscent about that silly name.
Well, there ought to be. You're in love with her.
I was.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, mad.
Not with a name... By heaven, I was. It was you. You were Betsy Schnocker. The cigarette girl in the musical, Fish and Chips.
You have a memory like an old stage doorman.
So it was you who sent her name in. Well, good for you.
I'm glad you've been able to bring the stars to Betsy Schnocker.
Stars to Schnocker. Don't you mean heavens to Betsy?
Next week, the Halls of Ivy will be brought to you by Nabisco, National Biscuit Company, makers of flakier, tastier, crisper snowflake saltines.